So this is the National Finance Committee meeting of the Pacifica Foundation for July 28th, 2020. We had a slow start waiting to get a quorum, and we're now convening our meeting. Do I hear a motion to adopt the agenda?
What? Okay.
Go ahead, our ball.
Like, roll call first, but...
Yeah, I did say that, but I thought you had instructed us before that the roll call comes after the agenda because we don't have an agenda with a roll call on it yet.
Okay. All right, we can do that. So you're moving to adopt the agenda.
Indeed.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Is there any objection?
How can there be an objection without a roll call to know who's on the call?
Is that a point of order?
Well, it's just a point of common sense, really. Unless we establish who's on the call, we can't have a meeting to establish a quorum.
Well, we were actually doing that prior to your arrival and possibly partly during your arrival. But I'm going to ask R. Paul to opine on this because he has done so in the past, and I just want to see what his opinion would be. Can you give us an opinion on that?
It really doesn't matter either way with the way we do things. We generally do tend to do the roll call and then do the agenda, but it doesn't matter a whole lot, and, you know, up to you, I guess, up to the committee.
All right. Well, in future, then, why don't we put roll call and convene meeting as one subject, and then we can go to adopt the agenda. That makes sense for the future? R. Paul?
Yes.
Sure, we can try that, I guess.
Okay.
Teresa Allen, I agree.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice. Okay, so let's go ahead and call the roll then.
Did we approve the agenda? Or are we?
No, I thought we decided to approve the agenda and convene the meeting.
Roll call and convene the meeting as one thing.
Go ahead.
Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams, Nick Arena, Teresa J. Allen.
Allen is present.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey. Chris Corey? Dwayne Lark.
Here.
Is that Corey?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark?
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Nancy Sorden? Polina Vasiliev?
It's Vasiliev. Yes, I'm present.
Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum.
Very good. All right, so now let's go to the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? So I will make a motion to approve the agenda.
Sure.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Let's go now to approving the minutes. Are there any minutes, R. Paul?
Yes, there are. The minutes from July 14th.
Yes, I saw them. Any objection to approving the July 14th minutes?
I move to approve the minutes of the July 14th meeting.
Thank you. Now I ask for any objection. Hearing none, we're going to go to the chair's announcements. I'm going to ask in the future, and R. Paul, this is mostly directed at you, that the chair's announcements be considered as read. The reason I was doing them is so that we didn't have to waste time in the meeting. People could just read them ahead of time. But then I noticed that they weren't making it into the minutes. And I did want to have a record that, you know, we were reminding people, make reports and do certain things that were requested. So is that okay with you? Is that a proper procedure to have them considered as read and included in the agenda?
Well, if there are chair announcements, you just put it on the agenda like this and then read them out.
Well, I was going to ask if we could not consider them as read, so we didn't have to do that.
Boy, I don't know if that's a great idea, since we're required to stream and all of that.
Yeah.
Have an open meeting.
I am hearing you on that.
Yeah.
Well, that being the case, I will go ahead and read them this time, if there's no objection, and next time I'll make sure they're a little bit shorter, as I did. I was a little repetitive in here. So, is there any objection to my reading these announcements? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead then. These are the announcements for July 28, 2020 from the National Foundation, the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee meeting. The Pacifica Foundation's tax returns, or 990s, are due this week. An extension has been applied for and granted. NEDA is working on them. The June financials were delivered to our ICFO today. She will review them and then send them to the committee, the PNB officers, and the IED for review and discussion at our next NFC meeting, August 11, 2020. WBAI has received notice of a $210,000 bequest. It has been confirmed that assets are available to fully fund the stated amount. It is my understanding from the GM that 30% of this bequest will go to pay for the quote-unquote big loan, and the rest will be used to retire other WBAI obligations. At the June 11, 2020 meeting of the Pacifica National Board, a resolution was adopted that directed, among other things, that, quote, all units, excluding the national office, should provide a plan within 1 week to the National Finance Committee, the PNB, the management team, and the IED that balances expenses and revenues of the units in the preceding 6 months. Expenses and revenues if the units in the preceding 6 months have had expenses that exceeded revenues, i.e., if a station's expenses are exceeding its income by 10%, the plan should show an expense decrease of 10%. Treasurers are requested to remind their respective general managers of the need to submit those plans immediately. Another PNB resolution required the GMs to provide NEDA with online view-only access to their station's bank accounts. The process is not difficult. It will save Pacifica money by reducing the amount of time it takes NEDA to do our accounting. It will also save our GMs and business managers a lot of effort, as well as facilitate timely accounting and a much improved workflow on our audits. Our IED, Lydia Brazan, will be co-hosting with Doug Jones tonight and must do other time-sensitive office work and will therefore be unable to join us. KPFA Treasurer Sharon Adams will be driving this evening and will therefore be unable to join us. WPFW Treasurer Nick Adams will be unable to join us tonight. Those are the announcements.
Nick Arena.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? Nick Arena, yes.
Dwayne Lark with the correction.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Extract.
The management
remove
team.
Management team. No longer
correct.
Management team.
That's correct. Did you get that, R. Paul?
Well, now we run into something. So you've just told us this, and now
we're checking.
All right, so what's the situation here? What is this about a management team?
Okay. The management team was rescinded.
Yeah, we're going to get among the units and all of that. And it says, list the management team. Now,
Point of information?
I don't know. Thank you, Teresa. I think our Paul maybe cannot hear us that well, but I think he's making a point of information himself right now.
No,
is that what you're doing, our Paul?
Actually, what I'm doing is trying to figure – you're telling me, you know, about the minutes here, and so there's a reference here to the management team, and now I'm hearing about striking it. The minutes aren't about striking stuff like
that. I have a suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Rather than vacillating, going back and forth about what to do, just put at the end of the minutes, add an addition to the minutes that there's no need or there's no longer a management team, so anyone reading the minutes knows that that wouldn't necessarily apply anymore.
That's good by me. Does that satisfy your understanding, R. Paul?
Point of information. Just note what's just been said.
Teresa Allen for the stack.
I'm sorry, Teresa. We're going back and forth here a little bit. Let me just finish with R. Paul. I did not understand what he just said. Can you repeat, R. Paul, please?
Yeah, I'll just make a note after your report that it's been noted that the management team no longer exists, okay?
That's good by me. Okay, Dwayne?
That will take care.
Thank you, Dwayne. Okay, I'm sorry, Teresa. Go ahead.
Well, my point was that the only mention of the management team was in quotes. It was that was the wording of the resolution, so we didn't really need to do anything with that. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. I appreciate that point, and I think it won't do any harm to add
never
the
mind. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. So now we are going to the ICFO's report. Anita, are you ready?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being patient with us.
Thank you. As James mentioned, we are working on the 990s, and they're due by August 15th, but they're due to the auditors prior to that, so I'm hoping that we get all the information for that. I will be sending out June's financials, hopefully by tomorrow, after I have an opportunity to review them. I think that's always important to let you know that we are not necessarily behind, though we are a little bit behind, I guess, in the fact that we didn't get them out exactly on time. But again, I didn't want to send them until I had a chance to review. I also have heard from some of the stations on budgets, though we've not seen anything as of yet. I just wanted to add that. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was I did send out the draft of the audit. I know there is still a correction that that I know took place on the call that is not there, but if you have it in front of you, I won't go through and speak really necessarily about the numbers, but really in the order of the report. If it makes it easier for you to read it when you have time, and then we can discuss it on the next call, would be fine, if that is acceptable. If you turn to the independent auditor's report, which is page 2 of the first 2 pages, I just wanted to point out, I'm sure all of you know, they did add in the substantial data about the organization's ability to continue as a going concern. There is a footnote. It's note 12 that is on page 24 that you can read at another time. Again, to me, that's a very important bullet point, if you will. Any questions off of that, with the comment that I just made?
Teresa Allen has a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Teresa.
You mentioned the going concern and the footnote on page 24. Do you have any recommendations, or do we need to put this on the agenda to discuss recommendations of how to address that?
Well, I think what has happened is that Lydia did comment back, but my problem, and that's why I'm not comfortable going through the numbers, is I was on this call, so I really missed the majority of the presentation. So, I mean, there is some things that Lydia feels will have an impact that might change the organization's position. in a year or so, that even though they did not change anything, and they do say that they do not include the adjustments that might result from the outcome, but there was a response. Of course, there was a management letter also, which I do not have the latest one either, but as soon as I get it from the auditor, I will send it on to the committee.
I have a follow-up.
Go ahead, Teresa.
You're saying you missed the audit committee and you missed a report that was at the audit committee?
The majority of it, yes, because I was on this call.
Okay. Okay. Well, that would be – that meeting is archived, isn't it, Mr. Sagerton? Ben?
I assume it is, yes.
So she could go to KPFTX and go that date, and she could – it streams so she could listen to it.
I will. But really, we just came up with sharing this audit this afternoon. But, yes, thank you for that, reminding me of that. I will do that.
Okay. Sorry, the stack.
Fred
Thank
for
you.
The stack.
Chris Corey did the stack.
Okay. I who did I hear first? Was that Paulina?
Yes.
And then I heard
Fred.
Was it Chris?
Fred.
No, it was Fred.
And then who was the last one?
Chris.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Anyone else? Okay. Let's start with Paulina.
I just wanted to remind this committee that there is a reason why the bylaws mandate that there be a separation, that the audit committee and finance committee do not have the same, the same person can't serve on both. So I think it's not really up to us to necessarily make recommendations regarding the audit, but I may be mistaken. Please challenge me on that, should I be mistaken. And I think I'll just leave it up to the rest of you for now.
Okay. Fred?
Yeah, one clarification on the 990 forms. Those 990 forms are for fiscal year 19, I assume. Not.
Yes, correct.
And the fiscal year 18 990s, I assume, have been filed last year.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And the note that you're talking about in the audit on page 24 has to do with the pension plans?
No, the note that I was referencing essentially is the result of operations, and the one that points out that the foundation has a total net deficit of $4,620,000 for year-end, September 30th, 2018. So that's note 12.
Thank you.
You're
that's
welcome.
All.
Okay, Chris.
Put me back on the stack. Thank you.
I will, yes. Go ahead, Chris.
Anita. Yeah, Anita, I was just wondering, there was a motion passed by the PNB to put the transaction of the removal or the removal of the building from KPFA's books. I'm wondering what footnote is that listed under? Do you happen to recall that? This was a recent change.
No, because I've not seen it.
Okay.
Quite clearly. I checked with George. He doesn't have it either. So tomorrow I'm going to reach out to Jorge to find out where if they're going to update it and send it to us. I did find your email communication, so
okay.
I do have it.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it was supposed to be placed under footnote 4, but anyway, that's entirely up to the auditor, of course. I just couldn't find it there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Anita. This is James. I'm going to take my turn on the stack, and I will say a couple of things about what people have said before. One was Paulina mentioned the separation between the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee, and that is correct. But just to remind our listeners, if we have any, that the Finance Committee had a regularly scheduled meeting
for last time, and that was when, which was July 14th, that was when the audit came out. And so the audit committee, in a reasonable decision to review the audits, you know, so it could be accepted and reviewed, decided to meet on the same night that we did. And therefore, when Anita was with us as ICFO, she missed the meeting, the first part of the meeting where the audit committee was going over the draft audit. And that's what caused her not to be there. And but that was just that was an anomaly of when the audit became available. And it, as we all know, we've been waiting for it for some time. And the audit committee did consult with me, and we all agreed that it would be a good idea to go ahead and review that audit as soon as possible. And then there was another question that I had for Anita was, Anita, when we last spoke, we had mentioned, or you had mentioned, the 990s being due next week. But then I spoke to Lydia, and she said that an application for an extension had been sought, and it was granted. Is that new information, or was that included in what you were telling me?
That must be new information.
Sure.
I did check with George. Obviously, he's working with staff on that. And his comment to me was that they were due back to the auditor prior to August 15th. So if extension has been filed, I will ask Jorge tomorrow also to confirm that. And that would be great, quite frankly, if we had.
Okay.
Our Paul for staff.
Thank you. Okay, our Paul, I'm just going to ask you to wait for 1 minute while we hear from Teresa.
Okay. Anita, at our so several things. And at our last meeting, I asked you how much each station owed to Central Services, and you said you were going to get that information. Did you send that to me?
I got it today along with the June financials. I will send it. I'll send it to everyone.
All right.
After this.
Okay, so with the June financials, and how much owed. Okay, sending today. Sorry, I have to write everything down or I can't keep track. How much of the stimulus money has been dispersed and when is it going to be exhausted? Maybe you can tell me if you don't have the answer to this question. I guess I was going to ask the IED that question. And the second part of that was how much of the $1.2 million of the stimulus money went to KPFT and how much went to the other stations? Or will I see that somewhere else?
I don't think you would see that in any of this information. I mean, how the stations were how some of the funds were divided is that the national office is picking up the payroll for 2 months for everyone, plus benefits. And right now, when the first infusion, when the dollars were available, I think the first draw was about $500,000. And, of course, Lydia and Tamara have been paying bills that are outstanding. So I think right now we're to the point of probably drawing more money, but I don't have that dollar amount for you. So what I'm saying is there's still funds available. They have not been exhausted yet.
Okay. Does anybody have an idea when they will be exhausted?
I would say we probably will go through those funds probably by September. If I may provide an accounting of that, a schedule, I'm making myself a note to get that, and I can send it along with the amount that is owed to P&O from the stations.
Okay, one other question. In the announcements that James Thaggerton gave, he mentioned the motion that was passed by the PNB, and you said that you'd heard about the budgets, but you had not seen them. So I think it was four stations that were supposed to provide those budgets. I think it was WPFW, WBAI, KPFT, and KPFK. Are you saying that those budgets which we asked for on June 11th, you've received none of them?
I don't have any of them. I know that Tamara does not. But not to say that the stations are not working on them, because we have heard. I mean, I just glanced at an email that came to me. I was CC'd on it from KPFK, that they are working on that.
Okay.
So, I mean,
nothing against you, nothing against you, Anita. I thank you very much for that information. Can we bring this up at some time later in the agenda? I think we need to talk about it, because when we ask for something and it goes to the PNB and the PNB asks for it and there's no deadline on it, I mean, this could go on forever. We've done that before where we've asked for budgets and we just never got around to it, and that's a solution to some of our problems, to have a plan and then follow through on the plan. And we're not seeing the plan if we're not seeing those adjusted budgets.
Chris Corey for the STEC.
Dwayne Mark.
Okay. Anita, I'm going to just take your comment as it is for now, and then I guess we could put that into new business, or we could just continue to discuss it here. Once we get this existing stack exhausted. But why don't we go to our Paul right now, and we'll exhaust the stack, and then possibly we can go to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead,
our Paul. This is Dwayne.
Okay, so what we have
Paul, could you hold for 1 second? We have a request for information. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I'd like to know the order, since I haven't spoken on the first stack, I'd like to know the order of the stack, and if there have been any persons who have spoken twice on this matter?
So far on the stack, we have our Paul, Chris, and Dwayne, and people who have spoken already on this matter, I don't think any of these would be included. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. I did hear someone say put me back on the stack, so I just wanted a clarification with respect to that speaker. But I understand the order now. You may proceed. Thank you for the
very good. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, our Paul.
All right. Okay, first of all, the interim CFO said that the 990s for FY19 are going to be done by August, and that the FY18 990s are done, because the FY18 990s are not on Pacifica.org. So if they're done, they really ought to get put up there. The last thing up there are things, the 990s and the audit from FY17. So are we certain that the FY18 990s are finished?
I'm checking real quick. According to George, he said we also have the 2019 tax returns under preparation. So that is the update. I am quoting correctly, but I would imagine that for 2018, when they were done, they would have been given to IT. I don't believe that staff would have, I'm talking about ANTA, would have posted them.
Well, okay, what the audit we're talking about getting, the audit you've just sent us, that's the FY18 audit.
Right.
And the FY19 will start sometime soon, we hope. And so that means the 990s for FY18 also should be done and should be posted somewhere if they're ready. Because if we're about, you know, if we're like less than a month away from posting the FY19 990s, I think we would need to have the FY8 teams already, no?
The 2018s were done, and they're being amended currently.
Oh, they're being amended, so that's why they're not posted anywhere.
Right.
Okay, and I would suggest that if we want to talk about some of these things that we have with some of the issues we have with getting information, there is new business, so we have that. I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Now we go to Chris.
All right. So earlier in the discussion, there was a mention of the motion that was passed by the PNB and the fact that we're getting non-compliance issues. Now, it may be that the time, the amount of time selected for complying with that motion was set arbitrarily too short, and that stations may need more time. If so, that motion should probably get amended. But if there's no wherewithal or will on the part of the PMB to amend that motion, I think at a very minimum, there should be some sort of an enforcement mechanism for it. And there was none present in that original motion. I'd be happy to draft something up, but it would probably be a good idea for us to discuss what that enforcement mechanism should look like. And since I didn't take the opportunity to place that on the agenda, I probably should have, knowing that you've been noting it every meeting, James, and I appreciate it. I don't know. I guess we can take that up under new business too. So I'd like to place that under new business. If someone can remind me, it's been a long day. I might forget, but that would be a good thing for us to talk about, I think. Thank you.
Chris, this is the chair. If you could put that into the in writing and forward it to everyone, that would be helpful. And if we don't get to it in new business, we can put it on the agenda for next time.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll do that.
We also have the matter of deferred. So there were some motions from the PMB that were referred to the Finance Committee that I didn't get onto the agenda, and I'm going to do the same thing with those. Okay, so now we go to Dwayne. Dwayne is next.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, well, let me refer to Anita. Is it correct that our fiscal year, this is a question to you, Anita, is it correct that our fiscal year ends September 30th?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what we're asking stations to do in a very timeful manner is to give us a report, basically, that is going to reflect 30 days of activity, as opposed to us concentrating on the new budget that are actually due right now, so that it's been my custom experience that stations, LFBs, have generally been expected to approve fiscal year 2021 budget by August so that they can be submitted. So I'm not sure where our priorities are here with respect to a budget that's basically 80% expended, certainly 75% expended, more than 75% expended. And I just called to question that logic. And also I want to turn to the question about the PPP. It was discussed, and at least at my suggestion, PPP should be used in a 2.5-month period, which was the calculation of the monies that was received in the first place. So theoretically, in order for us to do the informant adjustments that we need to make and still be in compliance with the full forgiveness, we should have had no problem spending that money in 2.5 months. Would you agree or disagree?
But if you remember, there's been an extension. I believe it was 24 weeks. So
I do remember that, but I don't think it serves us. I don't think in our employment situation and the requirements that we need to meet to get full forgiveness, I have stated on more than one occasion, I don't think that
meet our needs. So I'm asking you that based on the expenditures that we generally have per month, and that's public record, because we had to put it on public record for the formula, 2.5 months of stimulus money called PPP to operate for basically 2.5 months of with your previous year. So all I'm asking you is that based on we were in the hole and largely in some places, and we realized that we could use that money to deal with personnel and other attendant costs that would free up money to deal with some other non-PPP covered costs. Would it be, and is it in our best interest to make those payments and utilize that money in 2.5 months?
Frankly, I'm not sure. What I'd like to do is to do the accounting for it, to see it tomorrow so I can share it with you. I know that the benefits is a large component of that, like health insurance. So when we looked at it, it was an average. There was sufficient funds at a point to fund for 2 months the payroll for each entity, if you will.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head, it won't have to be an exact date, but what date does the clock start? Because that's generally what the law states. It's the date the money is transferred into your account is the date that you actually account towards your 2.5 months. What date was that?
I don't have the date in front of me. Give me a second. I'll look for it now.
Okay.
Dwayne, while Anita is looking for that, if you don't mind, we are out of time for this item, but I think we're involved in some very important questions and answers, and so I'd like to know if anybody would like to move to extend.
Teresa Allen will move to extend.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, 10 minutes, James. Extend for 10 minutes this item.
Very good. Is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none, we are extended. Go ahead, Dwayne.
For the sake of time, I'll limit my subsequent questions to two, and then I'll follow up with a written request so I don't take up very much more time. But while she's looking at that, I'm moving toward questions regarding the EIDL loan after we leave this PPP, because this PPP, I want all of us to understand that this PPP restricts us as long as we're using it. And we know that we need to make some personnel adjustments at some stations. And when we take that window, as she stated, 24 weeks, we're making it more difficult for us to make those decisions, which was going to be made prior to this PPP ever coming. So PPP just kicked the bucket down the road. It didn't stop the bucket from being in the road. So I just want to make it very clear to each of us that it is in our best interest, based on my business experience, that we pay the bills, we spend this money, and get to the business of getting our financial house in order, irrespective of not having PPP again, and respective of the fact that there may be a new PPP, which could reset something, but we need to make those adjustments before this new PPP comes down the pipe. We need to make those adjustments with personnel so we're not up against the gun of not being able to make those adjustments again, based on the fact that you have to use that money and then make your adjustments after that money has been expended for it to be forgiven. You can't make those adjustments in the middle of using that money.
I agree with you. And also, I'm sure you're aware that they have also forgiven the first $150,000.
Yes. And so that leads me, and we'll deal with the date. I don't want to put you on the spot with that. That's not something you need to have in your mind. Because I'm just using that as a 2.5 months from that date. Let's just keep that in mind. But to expedite, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'll send it to you by email as soon as I get it.
Okay. And if you would, send it to the whole committee, because I think that will help them kind of understand my point, that if it started in on June 30th or whatever, we've got basically until September 15th maybe
in order to, those numbers may be off, but just do 2.5 months for those who are listening to me. Now I'd like to get to the idol. I know that you and Tamara, and correct me if I'm mistaken, may not be Tamara, was working with Lydia on this idol loan concept with the same mess that was created to try to undo what was asked for and so on and so on. But were you guys aware that in the midst of all of this, that the window of opportunity to get up to $2 million in idle loan for this corporation, that window closed, and now the limit is $250,000?
I was not aware.
I warned about the first place. Yeah, I warned that we were taking too much time getting that thing undone. And so now the law has closed on us, and instead of us having access to $2 million at 2.5% interest, we're limited to $250,000 now, which could have taken us out a year or two with a 30-year mortgage, basically. So I just want to put that on the record. And it's unfortunate. Nobody's fault. Well, it is somebody's fault, but I won't go into all of that. But we lost an opportunity there.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Duane, this is the chair. I'm going to request if you have, if you could make that information available to the rest of the committee, or, you know, a citation for where we could see that, that would be very helpful.
Well, I'll do that right now because I don't get paid to do none of this, so I limit the amount of work that I'm willing to do. I do the research, but I'm not going to do the report. You can.
I appreciate that.
You can Google idle loan, and you can read up on it. It's one of the first 3 or 4 paragraphs, and if you don't get it there, go to SBA.gov. Or even if you're really lazy, just stay on the phone for an hour or so, like most of us, call SBA and ask them the question.
Very good. Thank you.
Nice to hear.
That's Nancy?
Yeah, sorry, I got tied up at work later than I expected.
Don't worry, Nancy. We're glad you're here. Okay, was there anybody else for the stack for questions for Anita? And Anita, did you get a chance to share the information you were looking for with Duane?
No, I don't have it yet. But I'll send it by email to the committee as soon as I'm looking for the email, essentially.
Okay, was there anybody else who had any questions for Anita?
I just had one thing that Teresa wanted to mention. I have two questions. Number one, I guess I'm curious if can Duane Lark tell us when he found out this information? If I had known that somebody was, you know, we're losing out on an opportunity, I would have called the IED or somebody. When did you find out about us missing this opportunity? After it was already passed?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Duane.
As any of you have any experience with me, know, I don't mind dropping folk in the grease, but I'm very litigious and very judicious about it. So I'm not going to go into any details unless we go into executive session. Teresa, I'm willing to have that conversation with you the stream and anybody else, but I'm not going to drop folk in the grease, but I'm willing to disclose that information because I tried to sound the alarm 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay. All right, I'll give you a call. And I forgot my other question. James Hackerton. On your announcements, you said you asked the treasurers to contact the general managers, but that wasn't in the original motion. I thought you were going to contact the IED to ask the general managers for those updated budgets. Did I not understand what we decided upon in our last finance committee meeting?
I got to tell you, I think you've got me on that. I don't actually recall. This language, which does not have quotations around it, was my language that I have been requesting the treasurers to bring this back to their GMs since this announcement has appeared in our in the announcements that I put at the head of the agenda. So I do remember conversation about that subject, and if that was the conclusion, then obviously I did not follow up on that, so I will.
I appreciate that. It could be my mistake. I guess I probably need to listen to that, to the last finance committee meeting, but I'm sorry. It's been very much on my mind because I've been looking for it, and our last finance committee meeting, we had technical problems, so and our general manager wasn't on there anyway. So I thought at that time that he was working on that report.
Just for your, just so you know, this agenda has gone to the, with this notice in it, has gone to the IED and to the, didn't go to the GMs, but it has gone to the IED now two or three times. So theoretically she's aware of it, but there's nothing like a phone call. I agree.
Nothing like a phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Dwayne, did you have any further things you wanted to add?
Well, I think for the sake of time, I don't want to feel like I'm hogging the time, but, you know, if other members were interested in the process here, I think that there are a few things with respect to this PPP and moving forward with this EIDL loan and moving forward with what the Senate and the Congress may come up with. We need to be more prepared in order to respond, be very responsive and fast, and have the information and utilize the individuals among our mix who know the information more effectively than we've done in the past.
Okay, I'm going to refer everyone to the agenda right now. We still have another minute or two in this section. And when I was adding up the time for the total time in the meeting, you'll see number 9 and number 8 repeat each other. And it allots a total of 1 hour and 5 minutes to discuss the central services formula. And I'm not sure that we need that much time. So I'm suggesting that right now, if anyone had more questions to ask Anita, you know, it's very valuable when we have her here to answer our questions. If someone wanted to extend time now, this would be a good time to do it.
Can I reply to Mr. Lark now? I did find the date.
Let's, Anita, if you don't mind, let me just see if anybody wants to extend time for this item,
okay.
And then we'll do that. Does anybody care to extend time on this item? Okay, hearing none. Go ahead and answer, Anita, and then we'll move on.
The date was June 24th, and I sent the email to all of to the committee that the funds
so
were.
I went too far off. We got about September 10th then.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, I think now we are out of time on this item. So it would be time to move on to the budget timeline. I just wanted to inquire how people are doing, how the stations are doing with establishing their budget timeline. We can go around to the treasurers or to anyone else who wants to speak on this. I suppose I could start by saying that the WBAI general manager has produced a draft budget. He sent it out on July 4th initially. It's going to be discussed at our next local finance committee meeting, which is tomorrow. What is that, a week from tomorrow, Arpal?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll be having a discussion of it. I'm sure we'll have issues and a lot of fun with it, as usual. So I am pleased, however, that how we're coming along, that we do have at least a draft budget at this point, and we're going to be moving ahead. Arpal, did you want to comment on anything on behalf of the local finance committee?
We started discussing this. We started to discuss this at our last meeting earlier in July, so we're already discussing it. And the general manager has a very preliminary draft FY21 budget, and so that's it.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Fred here.
Go ahead, Fred.
From KPFK. Yes, on July 8th, about an hour or two before the local finance committee meeting, we received a draft FY21 budget from our GM and business manager. We weren't able to go over it much at that meeting, but we then subsequently had a continuation meeting, or two continuation meetings, a week later and then 2 weeks later, going over the budget in details. Again, it's very preliminary and it's got lots of problems. We're anticipating a second draft for August. I believe it's August 10th or August 12th, and we'll proceed from there. But we've started the ball rolling, at least.
Good. Thank you, Fred. Are you done?
I think so.
I appreciate that. Anybody else? Any other?
This is Teresa. I wish I'm not the chair of the finance committee. I will call our finance chair tomorrow and find out if we should schedule something immediately to start discussions on this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I dropped the ball.
Oh, no, not at all. It was appreciated. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Teresa is our treasurer, and I believe she referred to the finance chair. I defer to the finance chair, but I think Teresa knows as well as I do that the meeting for KPFT-LSB was canceled for the month. So obviously there's no work that the LSB can instruct, get a report or anything. I think there's too much onus that's been placed on the local finance committee working the manager and the business manager with respect to the LSB doing very little or nothing and having canceling meetings and not being able to address even the budget, not being able to address anything as respect to the organization. I think therein lies the problem with KPFT. I just want to put that on the record.
Okay. I'm going to just inquire of either of you from KPFT, you know, if this could be a problem going forward in getting, you know, budgets from all of the stations so that we can try and get a budget, you know, a consolidated budget going. Is there anything that we could do to assist you or that, you know, do you see any, I mean, I don't know if this is political or if it's COVID related. I'm not clear on what the situation is, but is there anything we could do to help you, to help you get the ball rolling?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to either one of you who would like to contribute. Sure. Go ahead, Teresa, if you wanted to say anything.
I just think I need to work a little bit more carefully with the chair of our finance committee meeting, because our last finance committee meeting was abruptly ended because practically everybody was dumped, and we need to reschedule that meeting. And if we succeed in getting something done on our finance committee meeting, then we could conceivably, 1 week after that, we could schedule an LSB meeting to approve it if necessary. I haven't talked to our general manager to see if he's working on it, but I thought he was. So.
Oh, okay. Dwayne, just keep us posted. Yes, go ahead, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Okay. In addition to what Teresa said, I think our finance committee certainly has overmet. We've had over 8 to 10 meetings in the last 4 to 5 months, so I don't think there's a lack of meetings. What I think there is a lack of is leadership at the KPFT-LSB. And as a result of that, when you have lack of leadership, for instance, it's been my experience as a two-time former board chair of KPFT-LSB and a three-time vice chair, it's been my experience in the last 11 years that this process is driven by a very active chair who works closely with the treasurer
and the finance committee's chair and the finance committee and the manager and the business manager. And this has been the lack thereof with respect to our chair, whom I hold in dear. Deborah Shapto is a very dear person who I beloved, but her leadership has been very lacking this year. And I'll further say that it certainly is no reflection of the two personnel, only two full-time personnel we have left at the station with respect to the IGM and the business manager, because Markeisha is one of the quintessential employees of this foundation, and she's proven that over and over. So I believe there's no lack. And there's no lack of work with respect to those two individuals. I believe the problem, and I'm not sure that you can do anything about the chair, but I just want to put on the record, the problem has been a lack of leadership at the KPFT-LSB in this process, even addressing this process, let alone moving the process forward. As I stated, two meetings have been canceled, two LSB meetings, 2 months of meetings have been canceled in the last 6 months. So this is where the problem lies, not with our business manager and our manager, nor with standing our finance chair or our treasurer, for that matter, for the record.
Matt, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Duane. Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
I'm sorry. I just don't think that this is the place to air our grievances. I think we should get together, Duane and I should get together and work on this on our own, and hopefully we'll have a solution. I mean, we're obviously not the only one, and I, as I said, I take responsibility for dropping the ball. Thank you.
Okay, yes, and I did not I will give you that in a moment, Duane. I just want to quickly say that I did not intend to, you know, have this go too far, you know, especially in the mentioning names and whatnot. But, again, that sounds like the possibility of a beginning for a solution. Go ahead, Duane.
Well, certainly, Mr. Chair, I don't mind stating facts. And with respect to the facts that I've stated, if anyone want to challenge those facts as to the veracity of them, I think that would be in order. But to suggest that I'm airing dirty laundry when the member who just spoken has certainly done that consistently over this airways in the last 6 months with respect to the KPFT IGM and others. So I'm not airing dirty laundry. I'm just stating the facts as they are, and hopefully that will put some honor and some fire under some people's belly to be more responsive and to take this business of meeting very more seriously at KPFT-LSB.
Okay.
Chris Corey for the sec.
Okay. Chris, go ahead.
I'm in the
okay. I was just going to say that.
Hold on a second.
Nancy.
Who was that?
Nancy.
Nancy, you want to be on the stack?
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to bring you up to date to the best of my ability on the state of KPFA's budget. To the best of my knowledge, although I'm not the treasurer at that station and she's not present here tonight, I believe that KPFA actually submitted a preliminary budget late last year. And the NFC was in quite a bit of turmoil at the time. And I think we might have even approved that budget, and it should have been elevated to the PNB, and that would have been my fault for not doing that. But I think probably between then and now, there's been some revisions to that budget anyway, and so I would rather just wait to hear from Sharon. But I believe that they were a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of most of the stations. I just wanted to chime in with that because I remember that to a certain extent it was my fault for not pushing it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And Nancy, before you go, I'm just going to make one comment. I'm just going to say that it would be very helpful if going forward, you know, we could spend a few minutes each meeting doing this kind of an update so we can try and see if there's any roadblocks, any bottlenecks. Hopefully try and resolve them in any way, you know, any way that we can, if it's possible for us to do anything to resolve any kind of bottleneck. And so hopefully we could be on notice that the next time we meet, we might do this again and so on, just so we keep an eye on how the process is going. We don't, you know, get into a period where we're not paying attention and things go past us. Okay, thank you. And go ahead, Nancy. Thanks for waiting.
I'm just reporting for WCSW. After hearing from Nick, he told our finance committee that there's going to be a draft budget for us to review at the next WCSW finance committee meeting, which I think is next week or the week after, before the LSB meeting. So it was very helpful to get the timeline going at the NFC meeting so that we could –